So we left off last week. We introduced the last Mishnah in the Parak, which spoke about the issue of Chinuch, the Katan, who is old enough to know how to shake a lulav. So the father is obligated to purchase a lulav on his behalf. So we mentioned that there was a question in Rishonim whether to perform the mitzvah of Chinuch, is it necessary that the mitzvah be picture perfect? And you have to do the mitzvah with b'chol pratev diktukeha, as an adult who's doing the mitzvah, what's for the purpose of chinuch? Just he's going through the motions. It's a little bit of a trial run, a little spring training, lahavdil. It doesn't necessarily have to be perfect. So we mentioned that a lot of that machlokes revolved around the Gemara in the beginning of Masechet Sukkah, about a sukkah. And the Gemara told us that Hilni Amalka was sitting in a questionable sukkah. And the Gemara says that because of her children, Rabbi Huda brought a raya that the sukkah must have been a kosher sukkah, because it's inconceivable that a sukkah that would have been necessary for chinuch purposes would have been anything short of perfectly kosher. And the Ritva was medayik from that Gemara. You see from here that chinuch requires a perfectly kosher chetash mitzvah. And we said that the Rishon would disagree with that. Ritva would argue that was exactly why the Chacham disagreed with Rabbi Huda. That was exactly the Kudus of Machlekes at the time. So we spoke a lot about this at the end of the show last week about what the lumdus is the nature of the mitzvah of chinuch. Really, that the child is actually chayiv in the mitzvah of the Rabbanan, or is it just a mitzvah yam on the father, and that will impact just how kosher the chetz has to be? But the most of our discussion at the end of the shiur is we revolved around sukkah, even though our mission really talked about lulav. So let's get back into the lulav swing of things. What the standards are in terms of chinuch for lulav, is it really necessary that everything be up to par 100%? So lechora, why would one do anything less than perfect? Why would one, save a few dollars in case of a chinuch set? But putting aside the financial dimension, is there any almost like reason that's compelling us to, when we buy a lulav for our child, to do it in a little bit of a different manner than would be actually necessary to perform the mitzvah? So the next one's discussion is going to revolve around a very cryptic Gemara, actually in the fourth parak of Masechet Sukkah. It's going to set the stage for we're questioning just how authentic we have to provide an experience for our children in terms of chinuch of dal aminim. So the sugya begins on daf mem vav amud beis in Maseches Sukkah. It's a fairly famous gemara, daf mem vav amud beis. The first one in the line is la'ochla, about two-thirds down in the gemara. So mem vav amud beis, first one in the line is la'ochla. Amar b'zeira. The lignei inish hoshana liyanuka biyamatova kama. A person should be careful not to give as a gift, not to sell, not to cause a child to acquire the hoshana. The hoshana doesn't mean just the arovs; it means the whole bundle. In Chazal, it's called hoshana. We call it lulav. One should be careful on the first day of Sukkot not to transfer ownership of one's lulav to a child. And what's so terrible with transfer ownership to the child? My timer. Do you nuk na make nikoni? Aknui lo makni? Because a child has the ability to acquire the lulav, but he doesn't have the ability to sell the lulav or to give the lulav back to us. And that's going to spell trouble. So if I give the lulav to my child, so he's going to acquire it. He's going to have some mechanism in Kilchus Kinyanim to be zoichan this lulav, but he won't be able to sell it back to me. And now when I want to use the lulav afterwards, that's going to be a problem because the Torah says it has to be lachem. And since I didn't acquire it back in Cheshimish, but the Imam is, the lulav doesn't belong to me. So I can't give Rabbi Zeira. So Rabbi Zeira identifies a problem, but he doesn't really give us a solution. Rabbi Zeira says, this is what not to do. When you wake up on the first day of Sukkah, 7 o'clock in the morning, don't give the lulav an esrik to your child, Gevalah, because if you give it to him first, and then at 8 o'clock, when you go to shul and you try to get it back from him, it's not going to work. So what is Rabbi Zeira telling you to do? So presumably, what Rabbi Zeira is telling you to do is to be yaitzei first. And to be yaitzei first, so it was lachem. I bought this a little bit extra good in the store. So it's completely mine. So I'm yaitzei at 8 o'clock. Now after davening at 11 o'clock, I give it to my child. So gay, so he'll be kind of a little bit extra. And he won't be able to be marketed back to me. So what? What do I need for tomorrow? Tomorrow is already Cholamoy. Let's put ourselves back there to stroll for a second. Tomorrow is Cholamoy. And Cholamoy, yes, there's a mitzvah, the Rabbanim, to shake a lulav, a zeich la mikdash, but it doesn't have to be lochem. So according to Rabbi Zeira, it would seem that when Rabbi Zeira says don't sell to a child, he doesn't mean don't sell a chalal to a child. Don't sell it. Don't give it as a gift to the child. Don't cause the child to require it before you've taken care of your own mitzvah. That seems to be the advice, so to speak, that Rabbi Zeira is giving us.
Rabbi, according to Rabbi Zeira, would it be a chiluk between your own children and other children? Because anything your child owns, you own as well. So
very good. Excellent question. Unless you give it to your child as a gift. Let's say, if I buy my child a birthday gift, I buy him a game, I give him a toy for a birthday gift, I give it to him as a gift, it belongs to him, it does not belong to me. So a child who I'm supporting, if they acquire something on their own, maybe it belongs to me, but if I explicitly give it to them as a gift, then it becomes theirs, it's not mine anymore.
What about the second day of Chutzaretz?
Hold on for a second. So l'chora, Rabbi Zeira's problem and Rabbi Zeira's implicit solution to take the lula first is assuming there is no second day to reckon with. Now, we who live in Chutz Loretz, a whole new ball game, we have a whole new shaila, because in the second day of Yom Tov, if we gave a lula v'nesek to a child yesterday at 11 o'clock in the morning, even though we first fulfilled our mitzvah deraisa before we gave it to them, but how in the world are we going to fulfill our mitzvah today on Yom Tov Sheni? So that's actually a loaded assumption I just made. Who says that you have to own the Luv and Esrog on the second day of Yom Tov? So the Ra'an in Masechet Sukkah actually has a suffix about whether the Dinim D'Araisa that we usually associate with Luv and Esrog on the first day. There are a lot of differences between the first day and Chol HaMoed. For example, the Gemara says in Sukkah that if you take a bite out of your Esrog, it's called Esrog HaChoser. And Esrog HaChoser is kosher after the first day. Chol HaMoed, it's okay to use Esrog HaChoser. Going to some Rishonim, even if an Esrog is missing in terms of Hadar, going to some Rishonim is going to be kosher after the first day. That's really a further machlokes. But there are definitely certain psalms that don't carry over to the mitzvah derabbanan of Zeich LeMikdash. So the Ra'an's not sure, where does the halacha place Yom Tov Sheni? Do we say Yom Tov Sheni since the Sofik deraisa, we're treating like a Sofik deraisa, so it takes on all the chumras of the first day, and whatever standards Luv and Esrog has to have the first, they have to have the second day in Chutz Loretz. Or do we say no? That since Lulav and Esrog on the second day is basically Derabbanan, so they didn't up the ante, they didn't make it more chumra than the rest of the week. And therefore, whatever's good in Chol HaMoed would be good in Yom Tov Sheni. So the Ra'an's not sure what the din is. So that question of the Ra'an's going to have a huge impact in our discussion. Because if you hold that Yom Tov Sheni is governed mid Derabbanan by all the rules that would disqualify Yom Tov Rishon, that would include Lachem. Lachem is needed on the first day. Lachem is definitely not needed on Chol HaMoed. According to one side of the Ran, Lechem is needed on the second day in Chutz Loretz. Like the most poskim are machmir in the Sof. The Ran himself is besubah, but the later poskim or machmir we pass in the locha that you really should not take anything on Yom Tov Sheni that you wouldn't take on Yom Tov Rishon. Therefore, we who live in Chutz Loretz are going to be machmir to insist that we own the lulav, the whole tokva. You have to have a full-fledged 100% ownership of the lulav and esrog on the second day as well. What do you do with the kids? How in the world are we going to be mechanech children with the mitzvah of Luv and Esrog? Rabbi Zeira closed the door on us. They're telling us that we don't have the ability to give it to our child. So if I can't give it to my child on the first day, then I can't give it to my child vis-a-vis the second day as well. So how in the world is my child going to be? I'd say his mitzvah, that would mean it. So l'chora, for those of us who live in Chutz Loretz, there's only one eitzah. The one eitzah has to be, if they buy a separate Luv and Esrog for your kids, that was a very expensive proposition, that you have to buy a separate Luv and Esrog for your children. Otherwise, there's no way to fulfill the mitzvah. So this is very, very hard to believe. Rabbi Zeira doesn't tell us that. We don't find, in America today, in Tavshin Pei Aleph, in Eretz Yisrael, we're very, very spoiled. You see 5-year-olds walking around shul today with Luv and Esrogs of their own. This is unheard of, two generations ago. I don't want to date myself too much, but when I was a kid, I did not own my own Luv and Esrog. I remember it was only after I turned bar mitzvah. And I remember my father surprised me with my own. I wasn't even expecting it when I turned bar mitzvah. I thought I'll just, use my father's. I remember there was a big surprise. The first sukkah I said bar mitzvah, my father bought me my own Luv and Esrog. But I'm looking at some of the people on the call here. I can imagine back when you were children, you did not own your own dalad minim. If I remember correctly, half the people in the shul were over by mitzvah, didn't own dalad minim. Even in my day,
I've grown up in the, you know, the late 60s, early 70s. I remember a lot of people did not have their own 20, 30 years before that, I'm sure there was significantly more people who did not have their own, did not have their own Talmidim. So to say that Rabbi Zeir is assuming everyone's buying the kids, and the guy's got a bunch of kids, he's bought every one of them his own Talmidim, it doesn't sound like that's what's going on here. So what do you do? So the Chayr in a pickle, I'm in a checkmate, according to Rabbi Zeir. So the Mordechai in Maseches Sukkah quotes the following very, very simple Eitzah. Says the Mordechai, no problem. Don't give the Luvin Esser to your child. Don't give it. Doesn't he have to shake the Luvin Esser? Yes, says the Mordechai. But don't give it to him as a matona. Lend it to him on the first day. And then you can even do it before you shake it the first day. As long as you're having in mind not to be mocked at him. If you're just simply lending it to him, everything's gavalt. Everything's shalom by Yisrael. So then nothing changed in terms of dini mamonos. Wait a second. Lend it to him. So how is the kid going to be yaitzei his mitzvah? The first Mishnah in the third paragraph says, a luva gozel has to be lochem, a luva shol is possible to Torah, the Mishnah says. So how in the world can the Mordechai give you an eitzah that you just lend it to your kid? So it's clear that the Mordechai is learning that in order to fulfill chinuch, it doesn't have to be picture perfect. And the requirement of lochem doesn't carry over in order to fulfill the mitzvah of chinuch. The Mordechai is clearly the bar plukta on the ritva. The Mordechai is assuming. Unlike the Ritva said last week that the sukkah has to be kosher and the shayfer has to be kosher and everything has to be kosher up to par in order to perform the mitzvah chinuch, Mordechai is clearly learning that is not the case. So akoponim, this whole solution of the Mordechai is coming to solve a problem that Rabbi Zeira discovered for us. Before Rabbi Zeira, we didn't even know there was a problem. So Rabbi Zeira discovered this huge problem for us, formulated this huge problem for us. The problem was significantly exasperated by those of us who learned Chutz Laretz. And Lechora, the only inexpensive solution to this problem is to go down the route of the Mordechai. But Hopa Asali Yodan, name of Amilsa, since we mentioning this statement of Rabbi Zeira, and we are talking primarily about the Sugya of Ketanim, fulfilling the mitzvah Dalaminim, let's just take a step back for a moment and see, is this really 100% true? Is it really accurate that a child can't fulfill the mitzvah d'alaminim and then give the Luvin Esser back to you? What exactly are the parameters of this problem that Bezeira identified for us? What exactly is the background of this halacha that the child can be kaina and someone can't be mocked? So we really have to analyze Rabbi Zeira's statement on two different levels. There are really two halves of Rabbi Zeira's statement. In order for Bezeira's issue to be a problem, two things have to be true. Number one, a katan has to have the ability to be kaina. Premise number one, katan can be kind of things. They give it to him as a gift. And number two, a katan doesn't have the ability to be marketed back to me. Both of those statements have to converge together to be true in order to be posed with the challenge of Rabbi Zeira, which again, according to the Mordechai, forced the conclusion, which sheds light on that sugya in terms of chinuch. Let's go back to the very beginning of the sugya and understand what exactly Rabbi Zeira said and what he meant and what the parameters of what he said. Premise number one, a katan can be kind of something. Premise number two, that the katan can't be marketed back to me. So the Chora premise number one is very, very difficult. Premise number one tells me that a child can be kind of something. Chora is highly questionable because a child under the age of a mitzvah, we call a lav bar das. And as a lav bar das, generally speaking, can be very smart, but a lachli is a lav bar das. As a lav bar das, generally cannot make any chalosim, cannot make any kinyanim. Now, we know this to be so. This is actually a Mishnah that appears in Maseches Gittin. Those who have a Gemara Gittin here, take a look. It's on the Nun Tesam days in Maseches Gittin. There's a Mishnah in Maseches Gittin. The Mishnah lists off a whole series of different takonos that were made by Chazal, b'nei darkei shalom. That certain dinim that Chazal instituted in the Rabbanon, the key piece in the world. The Rambam writes, when he quotes some of these takonos, the Rambam writes that having a peaceful world is not just a social issue, it's a halachic issue. The Torah says, the Pasuk says, Rachel dachinyom, chonasi v'sei shalom. That the paths of the Torah are supposed to bring peace into the world.
Shmiras HaTorah v'Mitzvot is supposed to result in a more peaceful and more happier and more tranquil world, not in a world of chaos and fighting. Every once in a while, Chazal have to institute certain things to avoid machleksim in order to create a little bit more of a peaceful environment. So one of the dinim that Chazal instituted in the Mishnah of the Tesla days, you take a look, it's four lines from the top of the page. Mitzias chere sheit v'katan yesh b'mishum geza v'bnei daki shalom. If they cherish, shaiter, a katan, all three of them are lav bardas. A cherish is someone who can't speak and can't hear, so he's specifically a lav bardas. Shaiter is somebody who was very, very smart, but he's never suffering from insanity. A katan under the age of Arba's mitzvah. If they find something on the street, even if the original owner gave up hope, so normally the rule is, Eilim Mitzia Shalayim, you find the lost object gifted to you, Shabbailim, so it belongs to you. You pick it up, it belongs to you. If the katan is the one who finds the Mitzia, if somebody subsequently steals it from the katan, that's not gezel deraisa. It's only gezel deidakasham. What does that mean? It means min haTorah, the child didn't have the ability to be kind of it. Why didn't the child have the ability to be kind of min haTorah? Presumably because it's a lot of bardas. A lot of bardas can make a king. In order to be kind of naveidot, there's a lost object in the street, so you don't cone it just by looking at it. You have to make a maisa kinyan on it. So we paskin that there's one day in the Gemara that says, about the behef kikoina. That maybe looking at it, maybe that's also considered to be a kinyan. We don't pass like that. We pass like you have to make a four mice a kinyan. You have to make a kinyan agbah. You have to go pick up the item. So the katan doesn't have the ability to make a kinyan agbah because kinyan agbah is a kinyan requires das. The katan is labar das. So min haTorah, if the katan finds a tennis ball on the street, so he picks it up, he's all excited. So min haTorah can go over to him and take it away from him. I could steal it. It's not stealing. I could take it right out of his hands because it's not his anyway. That's the min haTorah. The Mishnah says that Chazal didn't want it to happen because imagine you're going to go over to the katan and take the ball that he found. He's going to start to cry. He's going to go to his father. He's going to start to kvesh to his father. The father's going to come to you and start screaming at you. You're going to scream back, no, he's not chayav mitzvah. He's a lav bardas. And the father's going to scream back and you're going to say, come on, have a heart. You stole the 20 cent tennis ball for the kid. And I'm going to say, no, you come and dinner's a heart. It's my ball. We're going to end up getting into a fist fight. Me and the father's kid. So therefore, with the Rabban and Chazal answered, "Bnei Daki Shalom, don't take something from the kid." Even though Min haTorah doesn't really belong to the kid, but Lamaisa, with the Rabban, don't take it from him. Gezel Bnei Daki Shalom. Again, the underlying reason why is it only Gezel Bnei Daki Shalom? It's only Gezel Bnei Daki Shalom because the child doesn't have the ability to be kind of something. So this premise that a child doesn't have the ability to be kind of property because he's a lav bardas, so this seems to be contradicted by a sugi that appears, those who have the Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin. It's the beginning of Ben Sarama, the beginning of the eighth parak of Maseches Sanhedrin. The Gemara is talking about the sugi of of Gezel Hager. We just read about it a couple of weeks ago in Parshas Noso. There's a special din that if I steal from somebody and then the person comes, takes me to a din Torah, and he doesn't really aid him, he accuses me of stealing his property, and I deny it, and I swear falsely. And then later on, I feel bad. And I want to do tshuva, so I come forward to Bezos, I'm still Sadechatosavishati, I really stole, and I swore falsely, it's terrible. So the Torah tells us back in Parshas Vayikra, there's a whole series of halachas that apply to me. That's what's called Ashim Gezelus. Number one, Beishas Exel Shemos. Number one, I have to give back what I stole. And number two, I have to be mechape for my terrible aveira that I did. I stole and I denied and I swore falsely and based in. So I have to pay a choymish. I have to pay a fifth. And in addition, as Mancha Besmik Tishakayim, I have to offer a carbon Ashim to be mechape for my aveira. So the Torah in Parshas Noso repeats the same story about the person who stole, and he swore falsely, and now he wants to do tshuva, etc. Except there's a little bit of a problem. The problem is that the person who you stole from is no longer alive. Now, the Torah uses a very, very vague phrase. The Torah says, the person you stole from is no longer alive, v'im'ein ish goyel, and he doesn't have any goyel, he doesn't have any relative to return the money to, implying that if I steal from Reuben, and I swore falsely to Reuben, and then Reuben dies, so no big deal. So I pay Reuben's yarshim, I give his children to Reuben. Any children, his father, brothers, cousin, everyone has a yerush in some shape or form. So comes the turn, Parshas Noso says, by the way, if the person has no yerush, so what do? So then you don't get off scot free. Rather, you have to give the money, you give the keren and the chaimish to the kohanim, shebaisim mishmar. So the Gemara asked the question, who is this guy who doesn't have a Yerush? No Yerush? Who doesn't have a Yerush? A Yerush is whoever's your closest relative from the father, through the mother, there's no Yerush, there's no Gula through the mother. Everyone has a father. So even if the kid first doesn't have any children, even if his father's not alive, he has a brother, he has an uncle, he has a cousin, a sixth cousin, a 47th cousin, somebody to him. There's got to be somebody back the Yaakov Avinu. There's got to be some relative to the father. So who is the Misha Meis Ve'Emo Yerushim? The Gemara says it must be referring to a Ger. The Ger doesn't have any relatives from the previous, going backwards. If the Ger got married and had children, so then he has subsequent Yerushim. But let's say he didn't get married, he didn't have any children. So now he can go back and give to it. You can give to the Gerusha father, and he's not related to the father. Even if the father subsequently converts, he's also not related. Gershis Kakon Shanel Adami. We can give it to his biological brothers. It says his brothers aren't related. No one's related to anybody. Everyone is Kakon Shanel Adami. So the Gemara says that's what the Pesuk is talking about. So the Gemara is the following drasha in the bottom of Samachesim and Beis Masechah Sanhedrin. The Gemara says, "If ain't lo ish gayel," it's three lines from the bottom. "Chiyeshcha other b'Yisrael she ain't lo goyel." It's a shayach. There should be a Jew who doesn't have a girl, doesn't have a Yerush. El begezla ger kosi b'dabe. So now that we've ascertained that the Pesuk is talking about gezla ger at the top of Samachesim and Alfi Amar Chamana ish. The Torah says, "If ain't lo ish gayel." What's making an ish? Why is it tough to say the ain't lo? It should just say the ain't lo goyel. What's the drasha of ish? So comes the Tosha of Penn says ish et atzorch lach so love yesh lo goyel lumim lav katan yet atzorch lach so love yedush ain't lo goyel. It says it by the following drasha in Tosha of Penn. If the person who you stole from is a 25-year-old, he's an ish, he's up of a mitzvah, and he's the ger, you can't assume he doesn't have any yershim. He for sure doesn't have a Yerush as a father, doesn't have an uncle, doesn't have cousins, doesn't have a brother. That's all true, but he may have children. So you got to do your due diligence, you got to do your homework and find out, does he have Yerushim? You can't just assume he died without Yerushim. Maybe he does have a child. That's if he's an ish. But if he's a katan, if he's a ger katan, you stole from a 10-year-old ger, so then you don't even have to bother doing your homework because you know for a fact he doesn't have any Yerushim. How do you know for a fact he doesn't have any Yerushim? He's a child, can't have any children. Because that's the biological halachic fact that he can't have any children. He's under the age of bar mitzvah. He can't father a child until he becomes a bar mitzvah. So comes the Gemara and says that's the meaning of the pasuk. That's the significance of that phrase in the Chumash. So main lo ish ish l'may katan ish atatzach lachs or katan atatzach lachs. There's a huge taisus on Samachesim days where. Which actually it's misprinted. Really, it's supposed to be later on, but it's talking over here, where Tosfos make the following observation: the Gemara is discussing. I stole from a child ger, from a ger katan, in effect. I stole money from him, and I swore falsely, and then he died, and I feel bad, and I want to be chayzer b'tshuva. What do I do? So the Torah says, oh, that's the parasha of Gezla Ger. So if he's a Ger Godol, you have to just make sure he doesn't have any children. You don't have to bother checking. That's clearly Ger Shemei Tzvei Yerushim. There's a premise of this entire sugya, and that's the opening line of the Taisus. So Taisus Samachesim Bei is a long Taisus cut, and Taisus says, V'yim Toimar Umenali Lai Kotan Mamoina. Where do you have money from? Where did this kid get any property from? How was he zeichen anything? Don't we know that the Mishnah we just learned before, it says that Metzias Chei Shed V'Katan is only Gezim Bnei Daka Shalom, of Mederais Aloy, a Katan can't be zeichen anything. So what's the word talking about? The entire premise of the Sugya Tenetz of Achesim Beis is that the parish of Gezim Lager applies to a Katan. So it's time to stop. How can you have Gezim Lager, Minatora, if it didn't belong to him, Minatora? So obviously, says Tosfos, there must be a possibility, min haTorah, of a child owning property. And that's what Tosfos gets with the big group. That's the humongous Tosfos here about can we dream up in any shape or form of a katan owning property, min haTorah. So Tosfos comes up with a lot of very fascinating creative solutions, but all the solutions are not really for our purposes right now. We can hopefully focus on one solution that Tosfos comes up with, which is really the essence of our sugya. So if you take a look at Tosfos, the first word in the line is Vahal. It's about 20 lines or so into the Tosfos. First word in the line is Vahal. There's a huge difference between the cotton not owning property in Maseches Gittin and the possibility of a cotton owning property in Maseches Sanhedrin. The difference is very simple. What's the case in Maseches Gittin that the cotton cannot own property in the Torah? Mitzias Chereshet v'Katan. There's a lost item on the ground. He went ahead on his own and picked it up. He cannot do that. Minotaur, he doesn't have the car, doesn't have the ability to do that. When can a cotton, how can a cotton own property in Minotaur? If somebody else gives it to him, a cotton can be zoichan property derech matana. He can't be zoichan property derech zechiyah min hametziyah. That's what the Tosis coins the phrase. I think I use the phrase also, but Tosis popularized the phrase. Das acheres machne osa shayne. When you have a das acheres machne, when you have somebody else who is providing das, who's being machne to this cotton, that will work mid the araisa, and a cotton can own property through the vehicle of das acheres machne, so on a level of the araisa. And that's what's going on in Tzadhanis HaMachaz, and it's no steer to the sugya in getting nothing. And now for the punchline, Tosfos says, and now that we've discovered America, that there's a concept of a cotton owning property through the vehicle of Das Chesmakos HaMenat Torah, now we understand the famous Gemara and Sukkah that we just read. Now we understand Rabbi Elazar's dilemma. So Tosfos continues. So the first one line is Makna. Tosfos continues. Hashtanicha, now we understand how the Omer Pred Muvah Rava. V'likni inish lulav eliyaduka. Rabbi Elazar said, you shouldn't give your lulav to the child. Yanuka make me kanya, because a child can be kanya, aknula makna, and he can't be makna. What does that mean? He can be kanya. Since when can the child be kanya? The answer is the makni kanya filum deraisa. The child's gonna acquire this lula of the Torah. Layaday dasakhers makna son, zoichem deraisa. He's going to be zoichem in the Torah, and that's gonna spell disaster for your mitzvah dalaminim. So again, the original statement of Rabbi Zeir was not really talking about Yom Tov Sheni. We exacerbated the problem for those of us in Chutzlars. Let's go back to Rabbi Zeir's original statement. Rabbi Zeir said, make sure not to give the Luvin Esrik to your child before you yaitse the mitzvah, because by giving it to him, he's going to be koina, and he won't be able to be makna back to you. So comes Tyson and says, and just how bad of a problem is that? Just how much ability does the child have to be koina something? So Tyson says, a very serious ability. He's kona midaraisa. Ah, if a cotton doesn't have das, it's okay. Das has machlos so shiny, even a love of deraisa. Adkan deriatosis. So Tosfos identified for us this mechanism in Dine Mominus called das has machlos. So, and the truth is, this is not the only time we find das has machlos so playing a role in terms of kinyonim. We find it in almost a similar vein in the following. What would that loch be if a person is a bar das? I'm over the age of my mitzvah, so I theoretically could supply das to be kind of something. Just one small technical problem. I didn't supply das. I didn't have das. I went through the motions of a ma'aseh kinyan, but I didn't have das to be kind of. How did that happen exactly? So those who have a Gemara in Yavamas, I forgot to put the Gemara comes from Yavamas. Those who have a Shas nearby, I can take a quick look. Or on a Gemara Maseches Yavamas. Gemara and Yavamas are daf nun days of a days. The Gemara says in daf nun days of a days in Maseches Yavamas. It's about three quarters of the way down the page. First one in line is Tzricha. Actually, it's the line after that. The first one was Asa'ua. Asa'ua ka'ayde b'nichse ha'ger u'chasavish shalohein de lokoni. The Gemara makes a blanket statement that what if there's nichse ha'ger? Once again, nichse ha'ger, whenever we say nichse ha'ger, it means nichse ha'ger shemeis v'en lo yorshim. So, which is tantamount to hefker. When the ger dies, he doesn't have any children, he doesn't have any yorshim, any halach yorshim. So then all his property is hefker. So first come, first serve. So a person goes over to the Nichse Ager and does a Maisekinin on it. He doesn't say it's a land. The ger owned a piece of land. I go and I start digging a hole in the nechseya ger. So that's gevaldik. What's the problem? Of course it belongs to me. Not so simple. True, I'm going through a maisa kinyan of chazaka that would normally work to be kind of karka. The other thing is that I didn't have in mind to be kind of. Why didn't I have in mind to be kind of? I thought it was my land. I share my land board. My field borders on the ger's land. We've been good friends for years, so we don't exactly know where the line is. So I thought all along that I'm working my field. And then lo and behold, after the ger dies and the surveyor from the town comes out and says, oh, by golly, the land that you were just digging, the land you were just improving, happens to have been a sadeh shel hefker, is the sadeh of a ger shemeis family yoshim. Today's your lucky day, Mr. Neighbor. You did a kinyan chazaka. You were the first zeicha. Kol hakedim zeicha. The problem is, it's true. I did a maisa kinyan, but I didn't realize I was doing a kinyan. Kesav shalayu, I thought it was mine. So the Gemara says unequivocally, that's not good. The Gemara says, don't, you can't be kind to something just by doing a maisa kinyan. You have to have das kinyan. So that's like a given. That requires das. Das kinyan requires not just that you personally be a gavra who is a bar das, but you have to actually express das vis-a-vis this kinyan itself. And kesav shalayu, that's a chisar in the das kinyan. The problem is there is a complicated sugya in the second parak of Maseches Gittin, where the Gemara seems to tell us that it's not 100% true. The Gemara seems to say, again, it's in the middle of a complicated shakmatar, we'll leave out the details for now. The Gemara seems to say that if I try to give you something, I try to transfer something to you, even though you don't even realize that you kona it, if you went through the motions and you did the Maisa Kinyan, it belongs to you anyway. Whether you like it or not, whether you knew it or not. So what Bishama Bob with the cash, I said, that isn't the Gemara says Yavam Mustafan days that Aydib Nikhsegiyahu is not kind of because it's chasid das kinyan. But the Gemara in Git in the second parak seems to say that I can transfer ownership to you as long as you go through the motions of the kinyan, even though you weren't even planning on being kind of. How does that work? So comes the Rashba on the spot and says the answer is very simple. The magic words, das acheres machdas hashani. When the Gemara says in Yevam Mustafdin days that eidim nechse ager doesn't work, chesav shalayu doesn't work, that's because it's nechse ager. Nechse ager is like a metziah. Nechse ager is like hefker. Nechse ager, there is no das machdas. The ger is God. He's the emes. When the ger dies, the nechas become oises. They're not his anymore. And now there is no das machdas. So I want to be zoich and something be atzmi. So I didn't have das kinyan. I can't be zeich on something that adds without das kinyan. In Gittin, in the second paragraph, it's talking about there is a das meichin, there is a das meisin, there is a das makne. It's just that the makabel doesn't know what's going on. Well, that's okay. That's fine. As long as there's a das ches makne soshan. So basically, what Tosfos wrote in Sanhedrin of Samaches vis-a-vis a koton is identical to what the Rashba writes in Maseches Gittin vis-a-vis a godol who doesn't have das. We got to draw a lach equation on the board. A god who doesn't know what he's doing, he doesn't realize he's being kind, is the lach equivalent of a katan. Both of them are as felt and das. One's a chisar and das because he's a gav who's a labar das, and the other's a chisar and das because he doesn't know what's going on. He's not paying attention. He doesn't know what's happening. He's out of touch with reality. So in both of these cases, even though the Gemara is befeirish, Gittin daftan tes vis-a-vis the katan, Yevam daftan days vis-a-vis the mice kid that's done without das, that a kid without das is garnished. But when the das is locked, so it's going to work. So what Tosfos said, Legabe Katan, the Rashi says, Legabe, the Gadol, who's not paying attention. But it really just pushes the question back, because if this halacha is ultimately the engine that's driving the sugya of the sukkah, Tosfos got so excited, they were so happy, they were so satisfied in Sanhedrin Samaches, when they discovered this klal, das ches maknaso, and that explained to them what Rabbi Zeir was driving at in Masechet Sukkah. And that's what set the stage for the Mordechai's Koton and the Chinuch and the whole nine yards we've been talking about, all emanated from the institution Das Ches Maknaso. It really behooves us to push the question back a little bit and ask us, where does this come from? What kind of strange halacha is this? I mean, at the end of the day, the koina is not expressing Das. At the end of the day, either the koina because he's a Koton or because he's Kesav Shalayu is not expressing Das of the Mordechai. If you really believe that you need das to be kind of something, how does das ches maknaso, hocus pocus, apply that das? And if you don't believe you need das, then it should work without a das ches maknaso. So we see Tosfos' chiluk, we see the Rashba's chiluk, and we're not quite sure we understand what the lomdus behind it is. What is really the engine that's driving this whole principle of Das Ches matters. Though there is a principle in Halacha called Zochen Yadam Shaloi Bifanav. Zochen Yadam Shaloi Bifanav means that I could give you a gift even though you're not here. You're not around to make the nice kinyan. You're not around to receive the kinyan. You're not around to supply das to be going there. You're in China. I want to give you a gift and you're $9,000 away. So what do I do? So I take somebody else who's standing next to me. Say to Ruby, listen, Shimon, my good friend, who I'd love to give this gift to, is not around. Please, you pick this up on behalf of my friend. I go to Ruben. You, Ruben, pick this up on behalf of Shimon. So Ruben does the Mexican. Ruben supplies the daskin and his mask and everything. And Shalom Israel. So that's the Mishnah. Zochel Yadam Shalom Yafan. Everybody knows it's such a principle called Zochel Yadam Shalom Yafan. Now, Zochel Yadam Shalom Yafan is a little bit tricky because Zochel Yadam Shalom Yafan can be undone. If let's say when Shimon shows up 6 months later, and he finds out that I gave him a gift and he starts screaming, says, son of a time, Yichya, I don't want such gifts. I don't want to mishuv it to you. I don't want to owe you anything. So then he could be oiked this chuslim avraya. Then he could retroactively declare it was never chus. Turns out, it was never chus all along. So the whole zichya was bottled. But assuming that Shimon's going to be happy about it when he comes back, and in fact he is happy with it, so then the zichya was kayemes even the mafreya. And as soon as I gave it to him, that's a special parsha. That's the chiddush haTorah of zochel yadam shalom yafan. The Kama group of Acharenim would say that's what's going on in Das Ches Machneso. Das Ches Machneso means that in Ochinami, a kinyan requires Das Akoine. It's inconceivable to transfer ownership to somebody if that person is not supplying halachic Das. Of course you require Das Akoine. But there is no Das Akoine because he's a Kratan or because he doesn't know what's going on. Kasavi Shalayu. No big deal. I, the Machna, will provide the Das Koine on behalf of the Koine. I'm going to get up and I'm going to talk to myself. I'm going to say, Rabbi Salovsky, I want to give a gift to Reuven. Would you please be the one to supply Das Koine on behalf of Reuven? Now, Reuven is not supplying the Das Koine because he's a Kartun or because he's a Kesav Shalayim. But since I'm around, so I have the ability to provide that Das on his behalf. And that this is a subset of Zochlan Shalavifan. So this is a very, very controversial approach that's given by a group of Gedali Acharonim. Because L'chaira, this flies in the face of one of the basic yisayin, this is Zochel Yadam Shaloi Bifanav. Zochel Yadam Shaloi Bifanav means like this. I want to give a gift to Reuven. That's no big deal. I give it to Reuven. Reuven's not around. So I give it to Shimon. I say, Shimon, pick it up on behalf of Reuven. But I have to go to Shimon. What I can't do is, I can't give it to Sobolovsky. I can't say, my right hand is going to talk to my left hand. My right hand is going to say my left hand, listen, I want to give this sefer as a gift to Reuven, so please pick it up on behalf of Reuven. It's almost a joke. How can I be Zochel Yadam Shaloi Bifanav means I can go to a plenty, to a third party to represent the Mekabel. I can't go to myself to be represented. Well, that's almost ridiculous. So the Chayyur, these Acharonim were saying that Zochel Yadam Shaloi Bifanav is the engine that's driving the parasha, the sugya of Das Ches Machnoso. How in the world does that work? Let me see you sometime. How does that work? How can I'm wearing too many hats. I'm the nice as a matana. I'm providing the das kinyan on the matana. How can I be the same guy? What kind of zochel yadam shaloi bifanav is that all about? Hopefully, Met Hashem, next year, we have to try to fine-tune this sheet a little bit more and then see that the other Gedali Acharonim who disagree with this sheet and see just what the parameters are all about. Because again, this is all setting the stage. This is all... We have to understand, hopefully we have to understand Rabbi Zeir a little bit better, because it's Rabbi Zeir's problem that sets into motion a whole discussion about what chiddush is or is not. So we have to backtrack. We know we really learned the end of the third parak, when by default we just had to learn the fourth parak. So hopefully Met Hashem next year. So we'll try to put some of the final touches in terms of how the Das Ches Machnoso works, get a little bit of a better perspective of what Rabbi Zeir was driving.